This podcast is a member of the New York City Podcast Network at nycpodcastnetwork.com. Visit us to listen to over 250 amazing podcasts just like this one.
Japanese street style is some of the cutest and trendiest clothing in the world. Introducing Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing and Accessories, the hottest original and cute clothing company. We offer tops, clothes, accessories, shoes, dresses and skirts, and comfortable homeware that we guarantee you will love. Cherry Goddess Women's Clothing, super cute, Japanese style clothing.
This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Today, we're going to have a doozy of an episode when we talk. I'm going to talk about the Supreme Court's decision in overturning affirmative action in colleges admissions. Yeah, it's not going to be a nice episode. I'm going to be highly critical of the Supreme Court. But before I do that, I have a song for you that's going to lighten the mood. It comes from the PodSafe Music Directory, New York City Podcast Network, and it's called Heaven in Paradise, and it's from the artist 3D The Boss. Thank you, and we'll get right back to you after this beautiful song.
Realize
This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. And the song that you just listened to is called Heaven and Paradise. And it is the artist 3D DaBass. It's on a PodSafe music directory on the New York City Podcast Network. You can listen to the song on all platforms like Spotify and iTunes. Now, let's get to it. Before I tell you about the Supreme Court decision, I'm going to give a definition of what affirmative action is. Affirmative action, also known as positive action or positive discrimination, involves a set of policies and practices within a government or organization seeking to include a particular group that was historically discriminated against based on their gender, race, sexuality, creed, or nationality, in areas in which such groups are underrepresented, such as education and employment. Historically and internationally, support from affirmative action has sought to achieve goals such as bridging inequalities in employment and pay, increasing access to education, promoting diversity, and redressing wrongs, harms, or hindrances. The nature of affirmative action policy varies from region to region and exists on a spectrum from a hard quota to merely targeting encouragement from increased participation. Some countries use a quota system, receiving a certain percentage of government jobs, political positions, and school vacancies for the members of a certain group. An example of this is the reservation system in India. In some other jurisdictions where quotas are not used, minority group members are given preference or special consideration in selection processes. In the United States, affirmative action by executive order originally meant selection without regard to race, but preferential treatment was widely used in college admissions. As upheld in the 2003 Supreme Court case, Grutter versus Bullinger, until 2023, when this was overturned in the Students of Fair Admissions versus Harvard. All right, this is actually what affirmative action is. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the CNN article on affirmative action. Here we go. This article is from CNN Politics. It's written by Arain D. Vogue, Devon Cole, and Tony Sneed. It's been updated 12:15 p.m. on June 29th, 2023. The article is called Supreme Court Guts Affirmative Action in College Admissions. The Supreme Court says colleges and universities can no longer take race into consideration as a specific basis for granting admission, a landmark decision overturning long-standing precedent that has benefited Black and Latino students in a higher education. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the opinion for the conservative majority, saying that the Harvard and University of North Carolina admission programs violated the Equal Protection Clause because they failed to offer measurable objectives to justify the use of race. He said the programs involved racial stereotyping and had no specific endpoint. The Harvard and UNC admissions programs cannot be reconciled with the guarantees of the Equal Protection Clause. Both programs lack sufficiently focused and measurable objectives warranting the use of race, unavoidably employ race in a negative manner, involve racial stereotyping, and lack of meaning endpoints. We have never permitted admission programs to work that way, and we will not do so today. The majority opinion claims that the Supreme Court was not expressly overturned prior cases authorizing race-based affirmative action and suggested that how race has affected an applicant's life can still be part of their application is considered. But even if the court did not formally end race-based affirmative action in higher education,
its analysis would make it practically impossible for colleges and universities to take race into an account, as the three Democratic appointees stress in dissent. In a leftly concurrence, Justin Clarence Thomas, the second black person to join the Supreme Court, spoke in an unusually personal terms as he criticized the use of affirmative action policies by colleges and universities, which he described as rootless race-based prefaces designed to ensure a particular racial mix in their entering classes. Strong dissents. While I'm painfully aware of the social and economic ravages which has befallen my race and all who suffer discrimination, I hold out enduring hope that this country will live up to its principles so clearly enunciated in the Declaration of Independence and Constitution of the United States, that all men are created equal and all citizens and must be treated equally before the law, Thomas wrote. Justice Sonia Sotomayor, joined by Justice Elaine Kagan and Ketanji Brown Jackson, issued a fiery dissent, saying the opinion rolls back decades of precedent and momentous progress. The result of today's decision is that a person's skin color may play a role in addressing individual suspicion, but it cannot play a role in assessing that person's individualized contributions to a diverse learning environment. Sotomayor wrote, "The indefensible reading of the Constitution is not grounded in law and subverts the 14th Amendment's guarantee of equal protection. It's a demonstration of the controversial nature of the case. Justices read their dissents from the bench for the first time since 2019. In her dissent, Sotomayor, quote, Dr. Martin Luther King attempted to end the opinion on an optimistic note. As has been the case before in the history of American democracy, the arc of moral universal bend towards racial justice besides the court's effort to impede its progress, she said. Sotomayor pointedly did not use the customary language, I respectfully dissent. In her own dissent, Jackson, the only black woman on the bench, accused the majority of a let them eat cake obliviousness and how the ruling announced colorblindness by all by legal fiat. By deeming race irrelevant in law does not make it so in life, she said, joined by the court's two other liberals. Jackson wrote that the majority had detached itself from the country's actual past and present experiences. No one benefits from ignorance, she added. U.S. military services academics exempt from ruling. In a footnote in the majority opinion, Roberts said that the cases before the court did not address the issue and left open the possibility that there are potentially distinct interest that military academics may present in a future case. During oral arguments, Solicitor General Elizabeth Pulliger stressed the unique interests of military and argued that race-based admission programs further the nation's compelling interest of diversity. Jackson called out the caveat in her dissent. The court has come to rest on a bottom-line conclusion that the racial diversity in higher education is only worth potential preserving insofar as it might be needed to prepare black Americans and underrepresented minorities for success in a bunker, not in the boardroom. A particularly awkward place to land in the light of the history majority opts to ignore, Jackson wrote. GOP celebrates as Democrats bless the court. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy hailed the affirmative action decision, saying that the justices just ruled that no American should be denied educational opportunities because of race. And Republican Senator Ted Cruz, who sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee, said in a statement, "This is a great day for all Americans." Former President Donald Trump called Thursday a great day for America. People with extraordinary ability and everything else necessary for success, including future greatness for our country, are finally being rewarded. Trump said on Truth Social. This is the ruling everyone was waiting and hoping for, and the result was amazing. Trump transformed the court when he nominated three of the justices in a conservative majority. Another 2024 GOP contender, former Vice President Mike Pence, also celebrated the ruling. This is no place for discrimination based in the race in the United States. I am pleased with the Supreme Court has put an end to the egregious violation of civil and constitutional rights in admission processes, which only serve to perpetuate racism, Pence said. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called the Supreme Court affirmative action, ruling a giant rollback in countries marked towards racial justice. The consequences of this decision will be felt immediately and across the country, as the students of color will face an admission cycle next year with fewer opportunities to attend the same colleges and universities that their parents and older siblings, the New York Democrat said. CNN chief legal analyst Laura Coates and the Supreme Court's decision will have sweeping changes to education in the U.S. The opinion, make no mistake about it, is going to change the landscape of education, and this is what the majority has asked for, she said. C. Valdeck, CNN Supreme Court analyst and professors at the University of Texas School of Law, said the decision will not end the legal fight over college admissions. In those states that have already banned racial preferences and gone after diversity statements and other softer use of race in admissions, the decision is going to make it virtually impossible for colleges and universities to take race into account in any specific admissions decision, Valdeck said. But in the states that continue to permit colleges and universities to take race into account, we'll surely see efforts to encourage the kinds of uses the majority does not expressly disavow. Whether in diversity statements or elsewhere in litigation, challenging those efforts as being inconsistent with the spirit, if not the latter, of today's decision. Long fight to end affirmative action. Challengers in the case targeted Howard and the University of North Carolina, arguing that their programs violate equal protection principles, dashed the promise of a colorblind society, and discriminated against Asian Americans. They asked the court to overturn precedent and insist that higher education should explore and further develop race-neutral alternatives to achieve diversity. A conservative group, Student for Fair Admissions, was behind both challenges. The SSFA argued that the UNC and Harvard policies that violated Title VI of the 1964 Civil Rights Act that prohibits schools receiving federal funds from discriminating based as well. The lawyers also argued that the UNC violated the 14th Amendment's guarantee of equal protection under the law, which covers state universities. Lower U.S. courts have ruled in favor of the schools, finding that the programs use race in a sufficiently limited way to fulfill a compelling interest in diversity. In the 8-day trial in 2020, District Court Judge Loretta C. Biggs of the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of North Carolina ruled in favor of the school, making special mention of its history steeped in racism. The university continues to face challenges admitting and eroding underrepresented minorities, particularly African American males, Hispanics, and Native Americans. Biggs said that adding the 2013 enrollment of a black man in a first year class fell below 100 students. The Supreme Court stepped in to consider the case before it was heard by a federal appeals court. Harvard's program is like that of the University of North Carolina, but the challenge focused particularly on the treatment of Asian American students and the charge that the school intentionally discriminates against them by setting higher standards for their admission. While Harvard is a private university, it is still subject to Title VI because it receives public funds. The freshman class in 2019 had 1,600 students out of the 35,000 applicants. of the 35,000, 2,700 had perfect verbal SAT scores. 3,400 had perfect math SAT scores, and more than 8,000 had perfect grade point averages. After a 15-day bench trial that featured 30 witnesses, the district court ruled in favor of Harvard, finding that the school did not discriminate against Asian Americans in the violation of Title VI. The first U.S. Court of Appeals affirmed the district court by holding that it did not clearly err in finding that Harvard did not intentionally discriminate against Asian Americans. The admissions process at the school takes into consideration several components, including pre-application recruitment efforts, application, a first lead of application materials, and interviews. The reading procedures includes guidelines to assign numerical numbers to certain categories to derail the factors admissions officers should consider. Those factors include academic ratings, extracurricular activity ratings, athletic ratings, and personal ratings. The personal ratings attempt to measure how applicants impacts people around them and contributions they might make. Considerations include perceived leadership, maturity, self-confidence, likability, courage, and kindness. After SFFA brought the suit, Harvard modified its instructions to say that applicants' race or ethnicity should be considered in assigning the personal ratings. Harvard have a list of so-called tip factors, including race, that are not used after the first read process. Cameron T. Norris, the SSFA lawyer who argued the Harvard case, charged the school with ignoring precedent and the mistreatment of African applicants, of Asian American applicants. Its admission process penalizes them for supporting lacking in as much leadership, confidence, likability, or kindness as white applicants, he said, and said that Harvard engages in admitted racial balancing and ignores race-neutral alternatives. He particularly attacked Harvard's system based on so-called personal ratings by considering race along subjective criteria like self-confidence, likability, and courage. Universities invite admissions officers to rely on anti-Asian stereotypes, Norris added. Perlegar supported both Harvard, the University of North Carolina, urging the justices to reject the invitation to ignore court precedents stemming from the court's 1978 decision in the Regents of University of California v. Bach, where Justice Louis F. Powell Jr. recognized the nation's future depends on leaders trained through the wide exposure to the ideas and more of the students as diverse as the nation of many peoples. Okay, so that is the article from CNN. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break. And as I'm taking a quick break, I want you guys to listen to another artist who's on the PodSafe Music Directory, New York City Podcast Network. Her name is Leanne, and her song is called To Be. This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and I'll get right back to you. Thank you. This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Now, I'm going to give my opinion on the Supreme Court overturning affirmative action in college. Now, I find it very interesting that the Supreme Court did not take away affirmative actions in academics in the military. Well, the reason why I feel they did that, because in the history of the United States of America, the African American community and other groups of people, minority groups, have always fueled the American war machine. And again, that goes especially for the African American community, because in the African American community, we have fought in every American war. We have fought in the American Revolution. We have fought in 1812. We have fought in the Civil War. We have fought in the Spanish-American War. We have fought World War I and World War II and the Korean and Vietnam War. All the wars. And if black people... if they don't make sure black people go in the military, there isn't going to be no U.S. Army. Trust and believe that. And also, black women are the most educated group of women in the country. So the question is, why haven't the affirmative action policies that was in place is not hiring black women? You know, you have all these black women out here who are can't pay their college loans. They're $20,000-$40,000 in debt, and they don't have the ability to purchase a house or take out a mortgage, you know, on a house. So, and also, there's been two states that took away affirmative action in the college admissions, the state of California and the state of Florida. Now, I understand why the state of Florida would do something like that, because that is a Republican state, but California, I'm actually shocked. Yes, and yet I'm not shocked, because if you look at Los Angeles and you look down on Skid Row in Los Angeles, you have all of the homeless people who are not able to find jobs. And a lot of those homeless people that sit on Skid Row are actually college students, and they're struggling to make ends meet. You know, after you go to college, you finish, you get a job so you can pay off your college loans. And if you don't do that, there's a high possibility with the high cost of living in New York City, Los Angeles, and other cities in the country, you could be homeless. There's that. There's also the fact that, you know, I understand why the Asians would get angry at the fact that they feel that they are not being admitted because when they have higher grades and they're qualified, but I don't understand why they would help the establishment take away affirmative action and not coming up with a system to replace it. Because if you've been reading the articles, the Asian community is mixed about it, because they're like, yeah, we got rid of affirmative action, but what are we going to do about these blue blood yuppies who be cheating their way into college? Like, you heard what happened to
never heard what happened in that situation when you had that actress from Full House who cheated her way into college. That actually got me very mad. Here you are cheating to get into college and I owe $40,000 in debt. That's terrible. Anyway, I'm going to leave, end the episode now. This is Black Wall Street Chronicles and I'm signing off.